From Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world, Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are, and welcome to the big radio show. Happy Wednesday to you on this 12th day of September, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and so yesterday afternoon, the media was in the Oval Office. They were asking the president about a variety of things, and this report had come out from the GAO about FEMA. Now, again, I'll repeat, for those of you just tuning in, I have for years and years and years, I go back decades on, I have never been a fan of FEMA. I don't know why we think of them so wrongly, but their job is not to be the first responder. Never has been, never will be. Their job is to wait on outside the field. And wait for the storm to go through, and then they come onto the field, and they come in, and they bring in some housing, some trailers, and they coordinate with various charities and non-government organizations, all kinds of things. So they have a role. I don't want to say they're waste, but a lot of people think of them as first responders and. That if your house is damaged in a natural disaster, FEMA will come in and write you a check so you can rebuild your house. And that is all wrong. Not one ounce of it is true. So what I want to do is, knowing that, I want to start with what the president said yesterday that he got a lot of heat for last night and today by calling the government's response in Puerto Rico, Hurricane Maria, calling it a success. Let's listen.
I think Puerto Rico was incredibly successful. And I actually think it was one of the best jobs that's ever been done with respect to what this is all about. I think that Puerto Rico was an incredible, unsung success.
Yeah, there you go. And it went on. And so a lot of people were going, oh, my gosh. I even saw on Fox News some of the commentators on Brett Baer show last night were going, well, you know, you probably shouldn't brag about how good something went when almost 3,000 people died. Probably not a good idea. You got to tone it down a little bit. So there's a couple of lessons, I think, from that I think by now, I hope you've learned, but I think it really, what he said personifies what Donald Trump is all about. And he lives in and creates his own world. But he's not alone in doing that. If you've ever met wildly, wildly successful people, that are billionaires, and I have met more than a handful, they all tend to live in this world that they create, that everything is on the upside, and they completely block out, will not discuss, will not think about anything that wasn't successful, that was a negative in any way, shape, or form. Get that negative thought out of my head. Everything is great. Everything's terrific. Sunshine is shining every single day of the week. Everything's going to be not only good, it's going to be great. And so when you hear this from Donald Trump, you have to remember that this is not a politician. I know he's a politician now, but he comes from a world of where I believe that people like him, that you've heard this about, you know, if you want to be successful at something, you want some job that you've wanted for a long time, visualize yourself achieving that success. Visualize yourself in that job that you want. And that is part of what I hear from Donald Trump. is that he's way beyond visualizing. He doesn't see or think or let his mind even enter anything other than a success. And so he looks at anything that he does, anything that the government, now that he's the chief executive officer, that it's great. It was incredibly successful. It was one of the best ever. So it came out also on the heels of this report about the fact that it went from, what was it, 29 people died from Hurricane Maria to 2,900 and some. A couple of thoughts on that. First of all, when you start comparing natural disasters, there are two numbers. One of them is how many people were killed by the disaster? How many people were killed by the storm at that moment? I mean, within, you know, say within 24 hours, how many people died that day? The storm blew through. Versus the repercussions of how many people died later because of the storm, but it wasn't an immediate where somebody drowned, somebody, a building fell on them, killed them. It is because of a lack of health care, because of injuries that they died of months later, all those sorts of things. I think you have to know both numbers. You have to know how many people were killed immediately from the storm and how many people were killed later and by what? What were the reasons for those so that you can try and manage it better in the future? So it came out that, okay, we got 2,900 and some people that died in the storm. And it was one of the most successful, one of the greatest, it was terrific. I know, it. For most of us, we go, ooh, that doesn't sound good. But that's why Donald Trump says these things. He creates his own vision of the world in which he lives. And there are no negatives. Everything is great. Everything is, he has, the word incredible is probably the most common word that he uses in his vocabulary. Everything is incredible. So it turns out that when you look at what FEMA did, and like I said, I'm no FEMA fan, but the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, came out with this report published yesterday that said 54% of federal emergency personnel were not qualified to do the rescue work in Puerto Rico. Report says there were logistical challenges due to the location of Puerto Rico and the neighboring U.S. Virgin Islands, and added that FEMA had to assume many of the local government's responsibilities that normally a local government will take care of. So there's a lot going on with this report. If you hate Donald Trump, you're going to jump on it and say, see, what a buffoon. If you love Donald Trump, you're going to go, FEMA really did do what they could, the best they could. They did do the best they could, but it wasn't very good. But that's not a surprise for me from FEMA. But Donald Trump won't acknowledge that. He just won't, because he doesn't live in that world. That is a foreign planet to him. But if you take a look at these natural disasters, and I think this is going to be an interesting one as we get ready for Florence. And I'll remind you, there's two more out in the Atlantic right now, Isaac and Helene, and they're coming. I don't know where they're going to go, but there are hurricanes that are blowing out there in the Atlantic right now. Hopefully they change course and go north. But when you look at what we've got, the government of Puerto Rico, first of all, the country is very poor. It's a very poor country. There are the beautiful resorts, and then there's everything else. There is corruption, a massive corruption in the government of Puerto Rico. And there, by the way, there's 91 different municipalities on that tiny island, and they all have their own corrupt officials fighting to get from whatever the next guy has. So when aid came in, when whatever came in, a lot of it was misdirected, and they couldn't manage anything. So it's the difference between Maria with a corrupt government in Puerto Rico and a infrastructure system that was on shambles already before the storm came. And you look at that versus Texas with Hurricane Harvey and what the government of Texas did. Yes, the hurricane still did a lot of damage. Yes, there were lots of people that were in floodwaters. Government can't stop Mother Nature. But the difference to the response, the difference to the rebuilding effort, the difference to coming in with some sort of temporary aid was night and day. So we saw what happened with Katrina. I still look at Ray Nagin. Is he still in jail? And Kathleen Blanco, who was the governor of Louisiana at the time, they were terrible. And as a result, the people of Louisiana, Mississippi, that whole area, the difference between Louisiana and Mississippi also was remarkable. So it really does come down to who's going to help you in a storm, your local police, your local fire department, your local office of emergency services for your city, for your state. And FEMA is supposed to be standing on the sidelines and come in with money to help rebuild governments, buy them police cars again, rebuild their courthouses and so forth and so on. So I want to give you a little example about the media and how they are reporting on Maria. The lieutenant governor of Puerto Rico, Luis Rivera Marin, was on CNN earlier today. Oh, my. Kate Baldwin was the anchor. And we've caught her before doing this. She wanted a certain answer from this lieutenant governor of Puerto Rico, and he would not give it to her. He said, no, things were done as best as they possibly could have been done. She didn't like that. I'll play it for you. You won't believe. And you wonder why CNN's so poorly done in the ratings. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So GAO came up with this report about FEMA's response. One of the problems was they had four disasters going within a couple of weeks of each other. They had hurricanes Harvey, Irma, Maria, and plus the California wildfires last year. And they were all within a couple of weeks of each other. But the massive response to Puerto Rico, FEMA put together $12 billion for response for Hurricane Maria alone. They had 1,000 response mission assignments compared to 400 for Harvey, Irma, and the California wildfires combined. They brought 1,700 emergency electric generators to Puerto Rico compared to 300 for the response to Katrina. So it was pretty massive, and that's what Donald Trump sees, and that's what he remembers, and that's all he wants to vision. So 855-295-6600. There's more to this report. It's fascinating about FEMA and their response. Manuel out in California. Manuel, hi, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
First thing I'm going to ask you, again, who's doing the report? I know that Harvard University was one of those, and, you know, unfortunately, you could see the fabric of bias on their reporting, but here we have a Category 5 hurricane. Sure, the response could have been better, but let me tell you something. None of us can forget that the federal government did their job. They sent the boats with the food. Unfortunately, you remember that the Puerto Rican unions were the ones that were stalling it. In other words, hey, if it's not our people, you can't distribute it. Hey, right. If it's not our people doing the infrastructure and building, you can't do it. So this is not Trump's fault. And keep in mind, you remember Carmen Yulin, the mayor from San Juan.
Right.
She was the one that said, hey, we're going hungry on food. But in the background, she's got all these pallets of food that were being shipped in.
They just found at one of the airports in Puerto Rico 100,000 bottled waters under a tarp that nobody ever distributed. Still there from a year ago. Still there.
And that was I think that was a reporter called David Bagnadiao reported it. But just today I was reading that Puerto Rico's newspaper, El Nuevo Día, or The New Day, is the name of the newspaper, and they just reported that the ASG, the Agency of General Services in Puerto Rico, accepted they were the ones who had the bottled waters. This was not Trump. Contrary to what the loony left is saying, this is a conspiracy. They were left out there, so the plastic melts on the water and people get cancer. And I read all these tweets on Twitter, the loony left, as I call them. Guess what? It wasn't Trump. The government themselves accepted. You can go to their website. You can see it. Unfortunately, the corruption there is so prevalent. Carmen Yulin is under investigation by the FBI. My mother-in-law still is in Puerto Rico. Says, really, people have been given double the amount in food stamps. And what they're doing is they go to Walmart, they buy hot dogs, they buy bread, and they're selling it out in the street. Instead of using it for eating, they're using it to make money off of U.S. money. You remember the generators were being shipped in Puerto Rico, and people were just stealing the generators from the government. So, and the ASGs, the agencies, excuse was, oh, the water had just a bad flavor. That's why we didn't distribute it. I'm like, come on, really?
I've talked to you before. You've told me before about your family being there, and you have regaled us with what I think a lot of people know that are familiar with Puerto Rico, but for those who don't, the government there is the governments, 91 different city governments on that little island. And they're as corrupt as you can possibly be. And unless you are one of them, you don't get anything. So the other thing, FEMA, FEMA did what they were supposed to do, but that's not what they're supposed to do. They are not the first responders. They were the only responders. Mm-hmm. Nobody else responded. The government of Puerto Rico did nothing. Zero.
Yeah.
So
again,
FEMA,
that's not FEMA's responsibility.
Yeah, FEMA has plenty of problems, and I'll go over some of this from this report. I mean, there were 15% of the people that were supposed to be working for FEMA bailed on them, did not show up, just left. So, you know, there wasn't anything good about what happened in Puerto Rico, but they're going to. They're going to blame it on Trump, but Donald Trump doesn't hear himself when he says, everything was great. Oh, by the way, 2,900 people died. He sees only the upside. He hears the numbers. He sees the 1,700 emergency electrical generators. And he goes, we did a great job. Manuel, always good to hear from you. I appreciate your call. We'll be right back. Hello, world. The GAO did this study about FEMA, and there's plenty of criticism, but at the same time, they said a lot of the reasons why FEMA came up short was because of the fact that they had previous deployments of personnel and assets for the four natural disasters going simultaneously. The three hurricanes plus the California wildfires, all at the same time. So, in other words, they were stretched too thin. And that's why they had 54% of the people in FEMA were not classified as certified in whatever it was that they were doing. Did not hold the title of qualified, the report says. 54% of staff were serving in a capacity which they did not hold the title of qualified. And FEMA said that was because of staff shortages. We had to put people where they weren't necessarily qualified. But they really GAO puts a lot of blame on. They said, we do all of these coordinated emergency exercises in advance with the states, and Texas and Florida and everybody else gets involved in these things. Puerto Rico, prior coordination of who was going to do what. So the sequential and overlapping timing of the three hurricanes and the fires and limited preparedness by Puerto Rico led to what they're saying are the big problems in Puerto Rico. But Donald Trump is, it doesn't make it better, but he lives in a world that he creates in his own head that everything is great, everything's terrific. And I think that is how some of these billionaires get to become billionaires. They see the world that way. Don't talk to me about anything other than success, success, success. Everything I touch, successful. You got it? That's how I see it. That's the way he lives. Oh, no, the show is doing so well. And oh, no, it's Mo. Hello, Mo. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, we'll have to make this quick. I don't want to miss my tea time.
But, yeah.
You know, two things that you have talked about. One, Donald Trump and always looking for the upside. Well, the media has put Donald Trump on the defensive. He has no choice but to defend himself because they are constantly attacking the media, which is the part of the Democratic Party. And the second thing is in regards to Puerto Rico, you know, that's essentially a third world country. And their electrical grid was ready to fall over anyway. It just needed a little push.
Yeah.
And FEMA, when FEMA got there, they get there after the fact. They are not there before the event. They're there afterwards.
Right.
Those 3,000 people had already died when FEMA got there.
No. The initial death toll was like 29 or something. But there were people that were sick, and they're blaming it on the fact that they did not get the medical care they needed. So months later, they died, or from injuries, or from whatever it might be. It's just not comparing apples to apples. That's my only complaint about the number. It was look it. They don't have the infrastructure. They never have. It's a very poor country. Plus, you throw in the corruption. But I don't think it's because Donald Trump is defending himself against the media. Yeah, the media does that. They go after him all the time. But that's just, I think Donald Trump's been that way long before he was president. He just looks at everything on whatever I do is terrific. I think his father made sure that he knew that if you're not the best at what you do, you're a loser. That was what he's admitted to. And so he doesn't want to look at anything as not being the best, because if it's not the best, then you're a loser. So he won't go there.
He overstates his side of the equation. But at the same time, the media overstates their side of the equation.
I know.
It's not, you know, when you say apples to apples, neither side, you know, you have to look somewhere in the middle for the truth. Trump goes back and forth, whatever, but again, always in his favor. The media doesn't go back and forth. They are always opposed to Trump.
Well, since
they don't give him anything.
Since you're going to be spending a lot of time this afternoon in a sand trap somewhere, you might want to take with you the GAO report on Hurricane Maria, because it's 30-some pages long, which I'm sure you have time to read. Nobody will read this, but in here it points out what really happened in Puerto Rico. And this is kind of the auditor, if you will, of FEMA. And they're pointing, but nobody's going to read that thing. All they hear is, and I'm with you on that, too. It's another quirk of Donald Trump is that I was always taught undersell and overdeliver. Trump doesn't live by that. Trump lives in the world of oversell. Oversell everything. Everything's going to be great. Everything's terrific. You're going to love it. And I wish in this case he would have said, look, FEMA tried their very best. That's all I can say. But instead, he comes out and says, oh, no, it was the greatest effort ever, which it was by the numbers, but he's overselling what the whole story, because a lot of people died. So, in any case, enjoy the report. I'm sure you'll read it from cover to cover, Mo, but always good to talk to you. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Alan in Stuart, Florida. Hello, Alan. How are you?
Hi. I think that you're underselling other people who do that, like our politicians. When was the last time you heard a politician take responsibility for anything?
Never.
And so effectively, he's just, you know, basically it's all successful people. I'm not the one who failed. Everybody else around me failed.
Right.
But let's remember one thing. Politicians build nothing, do nothing but take money. This man built a company, whether he had help from his father or not, he still built. How many second-generation people blow up that destroy family businesses?
A lot of them, yeah.
So the reality is he built an amazing organization. When he looks at things, he looks at numbers. He's looking at the generators, the people. How many people, when did the responsibility of the United States government and the Trump administration stop when all these people are still dying from their medical problems that they had? They had these medical problems prior to the storm.
Many of them, yeah.
These did not just come up. It's not people who were cut in the storm and they got infected and they died. We're talking about elderly people who died in different situations. So, I mean, you know, it's a typical way that the government counts for who's in. If Barack Obama was in charge, Puerto Rico would have been a beautiful, beautiful situation.
Well,
worse.
You are right about the fact that he looks at the numbers, and when you look at the numbers, FEMA's response to Puerto Rico was beyond the largest and longest single response in the agency's history. So, and when you take a look at the California wildfires and Harvey and Irma, it was almost three times the amount of material and goods and emergency generators that they sent to Puerto Rico than the other three combined. It's just amazing how big it was. That's what he sees. That's what he won't look at anything else.
But you can't, and the reason is that he's not that he won't look at other things, is that all of the other things that you're asking him to look at are subjective. The death of these people cannot truly be tied, except for some bureaucrat who decided that we're still counting dead bodies because of the hurricane.
Right.
What real direct tie do you have to the hurricane, to the death of the last 2,000 people in Puerto Rico? Nothing except a bureaucrat who said, I'm tying it to there to make the administration look bad.
I'm suspicious as why. There's probably some benefit for the government guy that does that. But I got to hit my break. But always, Alan, your voice of reason, appreciate the call. We'll be right back. 855-295-6600. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
All right, so I meant to do this earlier. So Kate Baldwin, who is an anchor on CNN, CNN wonders why they are so far behind everybody else in the TV ratings business. One of the Kate Baldwin has done this before. I can't remember what it was. We played it for you 6 months ago, where she browbeats somebody because she wants to get the answer that she wants. Instead of interviewing somebody and finding out what they have to say, she has a preconceived idea of what the answer is, and unless you give her that answer, she's going to beat you over your head until she gets it. So she had on the Puerto Rico Lieutenant Governor, Luis Rivera Marin, and said, well, how about the fact that federal aid, I mean, they dropped the ball, Trump dropped the ball. What do you think, Lieutenant Governor?
You mentioned one death is unacceptable, one death is too many. And you also mentioned lessons learned. The president was asked, that was the question the president was asked yesterday, of lessons learned from Hurricane Maria. And that was when he said this was an unsung success. If one death is too much, it's roughly the same number of people who died after Hurricane Maria as died on 9/11. How was that an unsung success?
Well, the magnitude of this event, probably the numbers, if we have not gotten the support of federal government, the support of thousands of volunteers from the main island that came down to the island right after the hurricane, this would have been a different story regarding the death toll.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Wait, what? Without the federal government, this would have been worse? Well, you can't say that. So, let's go to cut seven. And once again, she asked the same question, and he expresses gratitude for the federal government.
2,975 people died in Puerto Rico. Are you calling it an unsung success?
What I'm saying is that there was a response, and that we did learn that because of our condition as a territory, we do have, this is something that was in place not 1 year ago, but has been happening for decades, whereby Puerto Rico, because of our condition, we don't get the same health care funds, we don't get the same treatment as other U.S. citizens in other mm-hmm. territories. So our electric grid was fragile compared to what probably is in place now in North and South Carolina, and that requires a proper attention. But moving forward, we had more than 20,000 federal employees in the island, boots on the ground, adding to volunteers, and without the federal government support, this would have been a different story. This should not be treated as a political ball, you know.
Oh, man! He did it again. He didn't give the answer. He came out and said that without the federal 20,000 federal boots on the ground, this would have been a lot worse. Oh, my God. She literally says, I'm going to try it again. Cut 10.
I'll try one more time. When the president says it was an unsung success, the federal response to Hurricane Maria, do you agree with him today?
I can tell you that today we have recovered, that today Puerto Rico is rebounding in tourism, that today we are rebuilding Puerto Rico, and that is thanks to the help that we're getting from the federal government in our recovery moving forward to become a more resilient jurisdiction whereby our people can prosper.
She had the most foul look on her face. First of all, she looked mad all the time, but she looked like I almost thought that I was going to see darts and fire coming out of her eyes. She was so unhappy that this guy stuck to his belief that without the federal government, the recovery would have been much, much worse. She wanted an answer that fit with what CNN and others in the media have already promulgated, that this was a disaster, the federal government was the reason for the disaster, and without the federal government, I mean, the federal government just is the reason why so many people died. She was so mad. She was so mad. FEMA Administrator Brock Long chimed in about the fact that the report is out that the president moved nearly $10 million out of the FEMA budget into ICE budget.
Listen. You know, right now, that money has nothing to do with what you see behind us. It does not pay for this response. It is not coming out of the disaster relief fund. It has no impact on our efforts to be prepared for Hurricane Florence. It's just, unfortunately, we have a congressman that is playing politics on the back of Florence. There's no story there.
Yeah. So $10 million was moved from one agency to another agency I don't know the total budget, but I know that the federal government provided $120 billion for FEMA last year. So $10 million was moved over to ICE from FEMA. And so the FEMA director says it has no bearing on the funds that we're using to help people in North Carolina, South Carolina. So they're getting ready for Florence, and they have already had drills with the states. I don't know why. I can't answer the question, but Puerto Rico, they're trying, they have a big push, and they keep pushing for statehood. And I look at, okay, they're an island. So is a bunch of Hawaiian islands. And they're further away from the U.S. coast than Puerto Rico is from the from our eastern shore. So why is it that we treat Hawaiians as fellow citizens when we don't treat Puerto Ricans as fellow citizens? They're Americans. I got a tweet, you know, from Sean Hammy about it's not a country, it's a U.S. territory. They are Americans. Yes, I know that. I think everybody knows that. But that, like the lieutenant governor said, but we don't get the money for our various governmental agencies that that states get. So they are treated different than a state because they are not a state. But in the meantime, people in Puerto Rico are pushing to make it the 51st state. I think they're going to get there. So we'll see what happens with. With all of that, but I don't have Jan. I can't get to you. But the mayor of San Juan is a very partisan, anti-Trump Democrat, and so she has been criticizing Donald Trump from day one. The governor of Puerto Rico has been supporting Donald Trump. So it's in the one, and the lieutenant governor obviously on board as well. So I know that the mayor of San Juan. And like Manuel said earlier, she's under investigation by the FBI for something. I don't know, corruption or something. I don't know what it is. So she's not the voice to say, well, that's the truth. No, she hates Donald Trump. All right, we have other things to get to as well, so stick around. We'll be right back.